Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gardening Network, sponsored by Little Crop Circles, where we want to help you grow big in small places. I'm Donna Butler. One of your co-hostesses, Siobhan, is out on assignment today. So we're going to be without Siobhan, but I couldn't do this show without the ambulance in the background, without Lisa Sellers-Roberts on the show to help me welcome our guests. Lisa, you're here?
Howdy. Yes, I'm here.
Howdy.
Good afternoon,
everyone.
Did you
hear
everyone.
That ambulance?
Pardon?
I said, did you hear that ambulance in the background? I thought they were coming to get me.
Because of the bugs, right?
I'm also in a remote location today as well, but the show must go because we're talking about a topic that is frighteningly near and dear to my heart, especially as I'm beginning to start gardening on my own. And so we've brought in not only you with your expertise, but the expertise of Chuck Sodick.
Yes.
From Red Barn Garden Center in Austin, Texas. I think I said that right. I hope I did. Chuck, if you're there, please join me.
I am here. Hello. Good afternoon.
In the garden.
In the garden.
In the garden. Chuck, I'm scared to be in the garden. Last week.
No, don't be scared.
I took my red shoe and I planted two coleus plants in my red high heel shoe. My husband thinks I'm a nut. But so far, I'm going to be putting some pictures up later in the week. So far, so good. I won't go outside and garden, Chuck, because I'm afraid of the creepy crawlies, whatever, that can destroy my garden, I'm afraid of.
Well, don't be afraid. Most of those guys are good.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Good.
Chuck, what would the first defense be against those pests?
Well, the first defense would be to go organic and get on an organic program and stay organic. You'll have far fewer bug pressures if you do that.
That's good.
Yes.
When you say organic, what's the first step that someone can take to go organic in their small garden?
Okay. Well, the first thing to do is probably what not to do. It sounds funny, but stop using chemical fertilizers. Stop using synthetic pesticides, and just go all natural. You cannot control Mother Nature, so there's no point in even trying.
Yeah, but
Mother Nature has a great way of defending herself, her plants, and animals naturally. And if we try to upset that balance, or we're not even trying, but if we do unnatural things, it does upset the balance, and then you do run into problems.
That is true.
I like how you said the natural balance of things, and that's and for me that's where I have the hardest part because I know they belong out here too. I'm invading their space and digging holes.
You're invading their space. That's correct.
And so, what are some of the things we need to look out for? What are some of the things like right now? Tomatoes is what I'm dealing with. Tomatoes. I'm trying to start tomatoes and I'm trying to start some cucumbers.
Okay. Yeah, there are pests in the garden that can invade your plants. We're seeing lots of problems with snails and slugs right now, along with field bugs.
I have
the little field bugs have been crazy this year, the little roly-polies. And in the past, they've never seemed to do much damage because their numbers weren't that great. But we're seeing so many of them right now that they're feeding on things that they normally wouldn't touch. So field bugs, snails, and slugs are at the top of the list right now. We're also seeing lots of caterpillar damage. All these things can be controlled, Matt. Fleas,
when you say damage, what are you looking at? If they're looking at a leaf, what do you see?
Well, a caterpillar chews. And so you're going to see chewed marks, either holes in the center of the leaves or more often the edges of the leaves being chewed.
Mm.
Tomatoes only really attract one caterpillar that's detrimental. It's the big tomato hornworm. And he's camouflaged so well, he's hard to see. He's the same color as your leaves, but you will see his damage, which is the chewed up leaves. Or you will see his excrements everywhere. You hear that, Donna?
Yes. I have a lot of slugs. I do. I live in Louisiana. It's hot. It's humid. It's 94 already today. And you're in Texas, so I know you know. There's lots of the slugs that I find in the morning. They look like they leave little trails.
Right.
Of things. Now, I mean, I know people. Some people are getting mad because they're going to say, "Don't I want to kill them?" I mean,
well, they.
I mean, how am I going to make them go away and not come back? I mean,
right. We do sell. There is an organic bait out there that's very good. It's an all-natural bait that has spinosad on it. Spinosad is a bacterium, and they put a attractant on it to attract the snails and slugs and pill bugs. And you can just sprinkle this around your plants, and they'll eat it, and they will succumb to it, and that will control them.
Okay. I know some people will say, like, well, you know, it's nature, just like you said. You know, this is, we're invading their space. But we're also, you said, and I want to go right into it, there are insects and things that can help bugs. I mean,
at our store here, we actually sell beneficial insects. We sell ladybugs, and they do a great job of controlling soft-bodied insects like aphids and mealybugs.
Mealy, yeah.
And we also sell lacewings, which also feed on those same characters.
Critters.
And we sell beneficial nematodes. They're microscopic little roundworms, and they control things in the soil like grubworms and fleas and fire ants. And so those are some of the least, you know, that's Mother Nature. We're just helping Mother Nature by putting their populations back up to where they should be to help control these things.
That's good. When you're talking, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask him, when someone is first starting a garden and they're,
right,
before they plant, is there anything besides the organic matter that you would put in there to prevent?
The soil?
Yes.
Or to prevent problems or insects?
Yes. Yes.
Again. Okay, well, we start with the soil. That's the key in organic gardening. And by adding organic matter and other soil amendments, we're providing a great place for plants to thrive. A healthy plant can resist insect pressures much better than a sick plant or not as healthy. So by amending the soil and making it a healthy environment as possible, you're going to have a stronger, healthier plant. We can add compost is the key to gardening by far. So good organic matter in the compost. There's other soil amendments we can add, things like molasses and expanded shale and lava sand and green sand and all this to help improve that soil. So, yes, again, starts with the soil.
That would be, I guess, your first defense.
First
right,
line of defense.
That's what I was going to say. That's your first line of defense. Molasses. See, I pick out certain things because I am the new gardener. I've never done this before. Molasses, wouldn't that make something like, it seems like, I know you're the expert, but see, my mind, and I'm going to speak for people that might be listening today that are just starting out like me. My
right.
mind is when I hear putting like something sweet, like molasses or whatever, it's going to attract ants or things like that.
Yeah. First-time gardeners think that, and I would think that too initially, but molasses actually is an ant repellent when we use horticultural molasses. Yeah, it's kind of neat. Molasses is actually... What we're doing is sugar. It's carb. You know, it's basically sugar, and it's feeding the bottom of the food chain. So we're starting at the very bottom. We're feeding the bacteria, and by feeding that, then when everything gets rolling. So we're starting at the very bottom of the food chain. So you increase your bacteria, you increase your beneficial fungus, and on. So that's where it all begins.
Oh, that's good to know.
I know.
Yes.
I'm writing. And I'll be posting up things later on because I, for one, did not know molasses as an ant repellent. And I do have a problem. I have a giant ant pile. I have a little small space since I'm new at this that I've been given to use. And I have an ant pile, and I've tried everything. I'm going to sit here. Someone told me to burn it. I almost burned up my garden. I want you to know that. I almost burned up my garden because somebody told me to pour some gasoline on the flipping pile.
Gasoline.
Oh,
right.
No. Oh,
my husband almost had a stroke. So
What can I am really serious. I really almost caused a big problem. And plus, I live in a no-burn area, but no one told me it was going to go up like that.
Yeah.
And they're still there. Chuck.
They're still there.
They even made a bigger pile on the other side of the one that was drifting.
They're mad. They are mad at you, Donna.
Yeah, they got mad moved. Yeah, fire ants can be hard to get rid of. There is another bait out there that has the same bacterium on it, spinosad, that attracts fire ants and takes it down.
Can you spell that for me?
Yes, spinosad, as in dog.
Okay.
Most Texans say spinosad, but...
Mm-hmm, spinosad, I was going to say.
But that same thing. Spinosad is the same one that I talked about with the snails and slugs, the same ingredient,
right,
but a different bait attractant. Another method to get rid of fire ant mounds is using orange oil. Orange oil is, you mix that with water and drench the mound. I mean, orange oil will kill any ant, and it's a great way to go at it.
Orange oil?
Yes.
Hmm.
It's compressed orange peelings is what it is, basically.
Wow. Did you know that, Lisa?
Yeah. that part I knew. I just forgot about the basic increased bacteria part. But I did have a question, Chuck. Once you plant your plant and they're coming out, big green leaves.
Right.
And you see them all healthy. And you have the insects that start to take over and everything you've tried doesn't really work. What do you think about just getting some good old-fashioned Dawn detergent and putting a little bit in a bucket with some sponges and wiping the leaves?
Yeah, soap is a natural insecticide. We sell insecticidal soap. It does kill soft-bodied insects like aphids, and so it works pretty well on those kind of guys. But it does not do much for the hard-shelled insects like beetles and plant bugs and things like that. So it does have its place, and it is one of the least toxic ways we can go about controlling these guys.
Yeah, they just get, especially this time of year, they get really prolific in this area, and I know Louisiana too. When people come to the garden center, what's the first thing they ask you about pests when they come to you?
Well, many of them will bring their samples of their problem, either a chewed up leaf or
Donna would love that.
With the insects inside
the
a little
bug.
Bag. Yeah. Say, how can I get rid of this? And it's again, we don't want to disturb the natural way of defense out there with Mother Nature. So we really don't want to spray just to be spraying or putting any kind of pesticide out there just to kill a few aphids, so to say. But there are things that we can target when you get a bad infestation. Again, spinosad comes in a spray. That's a real good insecticide you can spray safely on your garden. It's probably one of our best-selling items. There's another natural occurring bacterium called Bacillus thuringiensis. We call it BT for short, which controls caterpillars. And you can spray that on foliage and control your caterpillars that way. So we do have certain things that will attack certain problems, just like the orange will do the ant.
One problem I'm talking about the creepy crawlies and all that as I'm looking around me to make sure nothing's going on. what about those things like rabbits? And, I mean, they chew up these.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what
mold.
You said.
Like rabbits? Mold.
Rabbits? Oh, yeah.
Right.
We're getting into the bigger critters now, aren't we?
Yeah, help
deer.
Me out on that. Because,
the deer.
You know, yeah.
The deer.
Yeah.
Deer really bad.
Deer.
Yes.
Right. We sell repellents for those guys. We have a deer and rabbit repellent.
Is it the coyote urine?
Coyote urine. Yeah, it can be. It can work. It's kind of expensive and kind of hard to come by. But
and
we sell
stinks.
A product. Yeah, and it stinks. We sell a repellent from a company called I Must Garden. I know it's a funny name, but it's an organic product. And they have squirrel repellents and deer repellents and cat repellents and dog repellents, and it smells pretty darn good. They use botanical oils in their products, so we do sell a lot of that. And it is effective. It lasts about a month.
Oh, that's great.
Unless it's
like
20 inches.
Yeah. So the best, like you said, I made some notes. You know, the best buying defense is to start with your soil, which is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago at the opening of our of the gardening network. And then you talked about the ants and the fire ants and the repellent. And I want to make sure I have this right because
okay.
I have the fire ants. And the spinosad, right?
Spinosad, yes.
Spinosad.
And you'll probably find it under the name of Come and Get It.
Mm.
For the fire ants. Yeah, it's by a company called Fertilome, and the package says Come and Get It, and that's what the ants do.
Come
so what
get
if my
it.
Garden is been kind of ravaged over, you know, not the best shape, some unhealthy things going on, and to be honest, I'm new at this, and it's hot, and I've killed off a couple things already.
Okay.
without incident. Would you say my brother-in-law told me possibly to scrap this garden, and you know because of the burn with the fire ants and everything, that maybe
right.
that I've messed up the soil with when I poured the gasoline. Chuck, is that something that he could be right? Because you know, some of my leaves are like really yellow.
Yeah,
and
quite possibly it's. You know, you're talking about your tomatoes, or
yes, my tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah. If they're not looking real healthy, you might want to just consider starting for your fall tomatoes. We'll be planting those in July,
right.
believe it or not.
Right. So it's not
so
too late
could...
for me to not too late for me to do. You know, to start over.
No. There's never too late.
Make
I mean, we can garden almost year round here successfully with something.
Right.
So, yeah, sure, you might want to, you know, start all over and start working your soil. We got to, you know, there's products to help dissipate that gasoline you put in there and things like that. So, never too late to start.
What would that product be to get rid of that gasoline in Donna's garden?
The product would be, what I would use probably would be a product from Medina. It's called Soil Activator.
Yes, that's a good one.
Soil Activator, yes, that's an excellent product, and it will help dissipate any chemical residue in your soil. It'll eat away salts and all kinds of things. They even use it to clean up oil spills, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
So she uses that and then gets
yes.
a real good compost, organic compost,
yes.
she can start up her garden again.
Right, so work in the compost, let it rest till she's ready to plant her fall garden, and add a good organic fertilizer, and she'll be in good shape again.
Good. I did have a question on the beneficials. Say
yes,
someone
ma'am.
Has ladybugs, and
right.
they have mealy, and they put the ladybugs out. Do you recommend that they just put two per plant, or empty the whole ladybugs on the ground or on the plant? What would you suggest?
We sell them in packages of 1,500, and I suggest you put them out. Well, you want to release them in the evening, right before dark, because they won't fly at night. We're trying to keep them in our yard to control
yeah.
our problem. So
yeah.
what you want to do is wet down some foliage and with your water hose or watering can or something. The first thing they want is moisture, and you're going to probably just shake out a few under each plant. Yeah, right at ground level, and they'll crawl up the plant at night and find out that there's a good dinner there, so I'm going to stick around here rather than fly off to the neighbors.
That's right. Spend all that money on them. That's, okay. Curious.
Yeah, we just released about 18,000 here on our property, so they do a great job.
Wow.
I know. I'm impressed. So, another question. I'm going for the inside now. I
okay.
have a plant that's inside, indoor plant. It's an
right.
amazing, I don't even know what it is. It's just really pretty, and it has little white blooms that come on it. It
okay.
smells really good, and it's on my table. Certain times of day, I'll come in, and the little black mat, you can like barely see them, but they're there, and they're everywhere. They're not like that in the morning when I get up around... Oh, I don't know, around 1 or 2 o'clock, it's just like they just swarm out. I've been taking it outside and putting it on the porch because it's just like, you know, annoying to me. I have a little grandkids at home and on the holiday over the summer, and
You know, bears don't like those little bugs. They inherited that from their grandmother. And these are little tiny bugs. And is there something, what is that? It was, and I mean, what is that? They pop up from everything.
Did you say like a gnat?
Yeah, like a gnat.
Yeah. It's probably what we call a fungus gnat. They will breed in your soil of your plants, and their larvae live in the soil. But as an adult, they fly around. And the only really good way to get rid of them is just to break up that life cycle, kill the larvae that are in the soil. And again, there's a great bacterium that works called BTI, and or sold under the name of mosquito bits. And you put that in your watering can. You also can sprinkle some on the soil, and that will break up that entire life cycle. And it works like a charm.
What if you sprinkle diatomaceous earth on top of there, or drench it with jungle oil or something like that? Would that help?
That would help, yes. Most of those larvae are down into the soil, though, so it's hard to get the diatomaceous earth down in the soil to be effective.
Yeah.
But it could, you know, control some of the adult population. But they only live as an adult for several weeks, but their cycle just keeps repeating.
Oh, my
So we
goodness.
Need to break up that cycle.
Can you explain to folks about what diatomaceous earth is used for and what it is?
Sure. Diatomaceous earth is a great insecticide. It is the skeletal remains of diatoms, which lived in the ocean millions of years ago. And they're real sharp and real abrasive to insects. It's almost powder-like to us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to use the food grade because the diatomaceous earth is that's been heated and treated to be used as a swimming pool filters is a different product. It's not effective as an insecticide. So you use the food grade diatomaceous earth, and the way it works, it cuts up the exoskeleton of insects. They crawl through it. It's an abrasive to them, and it makes them dehydrate and die. It is non-selective, so it'll kill any insect that does crawl through it. So use it sparingly or where you need it, and it is effective. It'll control fleas. It'll control ants, and on and on. It's a great way to go after things. Yes, it's good stuff. It's totally safe for us and pets.
That's what I like, because everything has been safe. I like how you're doing it. That's been, even though I don't like them, that's been a thing for me. It's, you know, I don't want to destroy, you know, what's put here for us. But then again, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. I really want to succeed in my gardening. So for a novice gardener, new person like me, what should I have on hand right now? All I have is tomatoes and cucumbers and my cute little stiletto with coleus. What should I have on hand for emergencies? What I'm going to do is redig, actually. I'm going to, you know, start over. But what should I have on hand when I'm starting over?
Okay.
In the few moments we have left, maybe we can kind of put me
in
shape.
Okay. Well, you're probably going to need BT, which is the Bacillus thuringiensis, for caterpillar control. So at some point you're going to get caterpillars, especially when we plant our fall gardens, when we're planting the cold crops like broccoli and cabbage and things like that. You're going to get the little cabbage looper caterpillars that really chew up our leaves. So always have that on hand. Over the last 2 years, I've only used that and spinosad in my garden. That's the only two insecticides, period, over my entire landscape I've ever used. So I try to do as little as possible to not upset the balance. Having the BT, you might want to have spinosad on hand to control other things. It does come in a liquid form, so that will control some of your things like thrips and spider mites or things like that that might crop up. But don't spray just to be spraying.
Right.
Why don't you tell us, as I was looking too, we didn't really get to talk much about Red Barn Garden Center. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Red Barn and what you do at Red Barn?
Okay. I am the garden and landscape manager at Red Barn Garden Center. Red Barn's been around for a long time. We have one location now. There used to be several in Austin. We are located on Pond Springs Road. We are a family-oriented business. We get along real well here. We love plants. And that's our basic focus. We're not into, you know, water gardens and things like that, unfortunately, but for some. But we do specialize in lots of different plants that you might not be able to find elsewhere. And we stress organics and natural gardening and try to pick up as many of those types of plants as possible. got a good, knowledgeable staff here and people that just love what they're doing.
It's a great place. Great place. Fun place.
It is fun setting and lots of big trees. So even in the summertime, it's not so unbearably hot here.
Love your oak trees.
Right.
And when you're talking about your area, I know y'all still have the white-tailed deer in your area as well. What would, besides using some of the natural products to rid some of these pests, are there native plants that folks can plant in Louisiana, Texas, maybe in the southern areas that plants are resistant to deer?
Yeah, there's no really true deer-proof plant, but we do have many that are deer-resistant. Start with rosemary, for instance. Never really seen a deer touch rosemary. But there's many others. There's lots of ornamentals and perennials that are native that do real well, like Blackfoot daisy or four-nerve daisy. A lot of showy things like yellow bells. We do have a complete list at our store if people want to look at it. So, yeah, there's deer
and
resistant
your website.
Plants out there.
You have a website, right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's where I've been looking at. Tell everyone where they can find you on the interlines.
Website? RedBarnGardenCenter.net.
That's right. That's a big red barn.
It's a big red barn. Can't miss us. But I've been gardening my whole life. I started as a child in grandparents' garden farms, so it's just a passion of mine, and I really enjoy it.
What's your favorite? What is your favorite?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Your favorite plant?
My favorite plant. That kind of changes from time to time. My new one is a orange Esperanza called Bells of Fire.
That sounds nice.
It is gorgeous in the landscape. It blooms from spring till frost, and it's loaded with flowers, many more flowers than the traditional yellow one.
Kind of drought resistant as well.
Very drought resistant. Love the heat. The hotter it gets, the more bloom you get. So.
And the Louisiana and Texas are getting to where they're getting a little warmer and a little drier.
Right.
Not this year.
it's been a different year, but it's Mother Nature again.
It's Mother Nature.
I have a question about the water hose. Check if we have a few more seconds.
You're holding that switchboard over there.
A lot of folks, we have 2 minutes, y'all. A lot of folks will say, how about using the water hose to spray? And they do it at night. Can you tell us the pros and cons to doing that?
Because I do that every night.
To water your plants? Is that what you mean?
Spray them. You know how they just spray them, thinking they're going to get rid of, and they do it at night.
Okay.
Yeah, I spray them at night.
Yeah, nighttime watering is not advisable at all because it can lead to fungal issues. Does it cause fungus, but it's the conditions that fungus like, the moisture and the cooler temperatures at night. So it's not always advisable to spray your plants at night. You can hose down your plants early in the morning. That would be great, especially, 2 years ago, we had a real problem with aphids on crepe myrtles here in town. And every morning before I went to work, I would just blast them off with a water hose. And it was very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do it early in the day.
Early in the day.
Yes.
That's good. If you have a recommendation to tell folks before we end here, what would you say?
Well, I recommend that you get an organic program and stay on it, and you will be far more pleased with your results and far more healthy in the environment, and it just will work for you if you just stay on it.
Great.
And like I say,
do you have another question?
All right. No, I think I'm good. I'm equipped. I'm ready to roll, and I'm going to let this garden go. I'm going to start over again, and it's good to know that I have Red Barn and Chuck Feldick to help me out if I get in a jam. I thank you so much for joining us in the garden on the Garden Network this afternoon, sponsored by Little Crops. Grow more in small space. Thanks a lot, Chuck.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Donna.
All right, Miss Easton, I'll see you soon. See you in the garden next week.
See you in the garden. We'll go and grow.